death panels, a term that certainly influenced the health reform debate in 2009. Now we're facing 2013, an implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Will the term be resurrected? Or can we put a stake in it and say death panels are dead? John Carney joins us now on the Bioethics Channel to talk about it. He is the president and CEO of the Center for Practical Bioethics. John, let's go back to 2009 and take a trip down memory lane. Death panels were directed at one part of the health care reform bill, it seemed, but then it morphed into something else and became a very confusing time. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, really what happened at the beginning was a elected official, formerly elected official from New York, actually began arguing that there was evidence within the proposed bill that doctors would be forced to have conversations, and consumers, Medicare recipients, would be forced to have conversations with their doctors about limiting their options in treatment and care when they became seriously ill, and that these would be forced on them, and that there would be they would be forced every 5 years, and that there would be limitations on care, and that actually this was the way for the government to basically force people to end their lives early. And then later, Sarah Palin joined in on the argument in about a month later, actually, after that contention, and argued on her Facebook page that the, and that's really where the term came from, death panels at that point. And that was related that to the same message around the doctor's visit.
Well, then there was actually, and there still is, if I understand things correctly, a panel of individuals who are taking a look at different treatments, procedures, different things like that that are part of the bill, but that became a little bit of a confusion point. And then the provisions around the people who are chronically ill or especially vulnerable at the end of their life.
Well, actually what happened was that there is an independent payment advisory board that was created within the law, and it was basically a protection that was really supported by both sides of the aisle at the time to make sure that the triggers that were within the Affordable Care Act, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, were actually followed by them. Congress has a history of forgiving certain settings and certain, you know, trademarks or basically steps that they have to follow in order to make sure that things actually happen. And they'll say that they're going to put that in there, and then they come down the road and they say, well, we're not quite sure, or they get lobbied basically to not impose some of those restrictions or some of those limitations that are in the law. And so there was this feeling that in order for them to stay true to what they said was going to happen over the course of the 8 years of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, that they had to follow certain rules, and they were going to create this board, this independent board, that would make sure that the triggers that were set and that the payment systems in terms of inflation and expenditures and everything else within the whole Medicare system would be followed. And so there was general support for that idea. That then morphed into this idea that there were going to be this panel of experts that were going to be limiting care. In no case could that happen. I mean, that was very clear about there was no ability for this group to have any kind of influence related to treatments, to interventions, to individual physician visits or family visits with doctors. There was no way for them to ration care. There was no way for them to influence payments or anything else. So it was simply a matter for them to say to Congress, you guys are going to need to make sure that these things are followed, and we want to make sure that it does. So there was that, but again, the idea was that this independent payment advisory board was going to tell Congress and had more statutory authority than the Medicare Payment Advisory Commission ever did. And because of that, then this additional authority was labeled as being bureaucrats telling us that old people had to die, and which was simply unfounded and unwarranted. But it, because of the initial, messaging around death panels, it kind of took a life of its own and really perpetuated itself into an unfortunate, very unfortunate, kind of chilling effect on the way that people view the law.
So now here we are in late 2012, almost 2013. An election has been waged to decide some things, hopefully, I guess. Do you have any sense that the term death panels has any reliability still among lawmakers or policymakers or the general public?
Well, unfortunately, some recent surveys conducted by the Kaiser Family Foundation and GFK have indicated that many Americans still believe that there are death panels within the law, or that there are provisions within the law that allow independent bureaucrats to make decisions related to their care. It's unfounded and unwarranted, but there's still a belief that that exists within the law. Contrasting that, though, that since the election, many of the people who opposed or supported the repeal, the entire repeal of the law, has diminished markedly. At one point, from that particular group, about 40% of the people, 49% of the people that really seriously opposed the bill, wanted it completely repealed, only about 33% of them now see that as really being a realistic fashion. So I'm not sure that the distrust of the system and the legislation that created the law has softened any. But I think there's a generally accepted notion in America that we are a nation of laws. We've kind of vetted this with the Supreme Court and found out certain things we're going to proceed, and that the authority of Congress was recognized in the personal mandate and some other things. And that with the reelection of the president and the reelection of a Senate that is Democratic, that it is unlikely that over the course, certainly the next 2 years, given because there are going to be additional Senate races, obviously, in 2 years, and possibly very likely over the next four with the president in the position, that there's not going to be much change, and that most of the provisions which really take place in 2014 will come to pass.
You recently gave a presentation called The Death of Death Panels. Is it premature to say that, or does it really matter?
I think it matters because there are so many people who believe that it's still true when it doesn't have any merit, in fact, which is disturbing to me, that we have such distrust of the government in general, the legislature, in Congress, in enacting the law. I think that's disturbing, and it should be disturbing for all Americans. But and we need to do something to fix that. We need to really, you know, engender more a sense of respect, or certainly an understanding of what the law entails. I did see a new report, a brand new report that just came out, that some research that's been done by the Associated Press and some other pollsters that have been participating in this issue around question of death panels for a long time believes that we could actually move the needle up to 70% of acceptance of the Affordable Care Act within the next 5 years if we developed a concerted effort to do so. That's based on the fact that when you ask people if they like certain provisions in the law, and this was research done by Kaiser Family Foundation over the course of the last 3 years, most everybody will say they like things in the law. And even provisions that have not normally been explained to them, when somebody says, just describes to them, this is in the law, that not saying this is in the law, but describes to them what's going to happen as a result of the changes in the Affordable Care Act, they say they like it. But those are the same people who, when asked if they would want the law repealed, say yes, they would want the law repealed. So there's still a lot of confusion. We really don't understand what the law says, but there is some hope that if we did a better job of explaining the law, or I guess in Senator McCaskill's views, recapture the narrative, and we're able to really explain the benefits of the Affordable Care Act, more people would be supportive of it.
John Carney is president and CEO of the Center for Practical Bioethics. I'm Laurel Abou. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.